Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host, Matt.
What the hell was that?
I
I'm
don't
Cliff.
even know. It's podcast day, which is a very flexible holiday in the Indoorsman household. Right after we said we were going to maybe change the date, we just kind of did, mainly because we were too busy, so... Delayed gratification, I guess.
Steve actually asked me today when the next podcast was out, because he was
Someone
bored at work.
Cares. Oh,
yeah.
That's sweet. Don't tell him other podcasts exist.
I mean, I
shit.
Didn't.
Don't listen to that, Steve.
There's no such thing as podcasts. Podcasts didn't even exist until we said it.
The only form of entertainment available on the internet is the Indoorsman podcast. So,
oh, also porn.
I mean, yeah, but do they have as many sweet, sweet goofs? No.
Way more.
The acting is pretty funny. But this is not a porn cast, it's a podcast. So, shall we talk about things that are in the description of our show on the iTunes podcast app?
What's the description say?
I don't even know, but it probably says video games.
We should probably talk about some video games then.
Let's do that. What have you been playing this week, Cliff? Have you been playing anything?
I've been playing PUBG.
That's...
Lots and lots of PUBG.
Unsurprising.
And I'm pretty good. I'm in the top 1.29% or something for solo, and top 2.something% for duo with Sean. So yeah, I'm doing pretty well in it.
Very nice. I saw a stream of PUBG from Polygon.com, a video game website, and they had set up a 100-person server, lined everyone up along the street, and then ran them all over with a car. So that's the latest bit of PUBG news I've seen.
Yeah, every now and then, yeah, they do like a custom server thing, and they do, you know, people do a bunch of stuff. I'm pretty sure most of the highlight reels you see around where people do crazy... like messed up stuff is all custom server, because that stuff doesn't happen in real life. So yeah, but you know, it's fun. They've added a couple extra guns and things like that, so I'm enjoying it.
Very nice. I have not been playing Plunkbat. I've been playing other video games. Actually, I've been playing video games on a theme this week, and it was totally by accident. I've been playing cyberpunk games.
Yeah.
And a little bit of steampunk, I guess, which was accidental because there is a smartphone-based game series that's also released on Steam, The Room, which are sort of puzzle box solving games, which I've always really enjoyed because they're very involved, and over time they've just gotten more complex. It used to be each one was just a series of levels made up of a box. You know, in a 3D environment, they're all Unreal Engine powered or something. And you poke around and do little puzzles around the box to expand it and open bits and get to the next puzzle and all this. And now they've kind of increased to the point where you were exploring entire rooms for different mechanisms that interacted with each other, possibly because the puzzle box thing got tired after two games. And the most recent release, The Room Old Sins... is you're working your way around a bunch of puzzles in a dollhouse. So you go through the different rooms, and the series has this device that you always have, like a lens, that when you look through it, alters reality. So sometimes you can go inside something, like, you know, a clock or whatever, so you can work on it from the inside. And in the dollhouse, you occasionally... open up rooms in the dollhouse and they get this weird shimmery effect, and if you use the lens, you can actually go into the real room, and you go in and mess around with a bunch of stuff and expand the dollhouse and all this crazy stuff, trying to hunt down the null, which is a mysterious, very bad element that is bad for everyone. But
gotcha.
It was basically just 3 or 4 hours of puzzles that I could play in bed, so I'm down for that at like $7.
The Room is for mobile series. Games.
I do it so rarely that for these games I know their quality, so I don't feel bad supporting the developers. They're a little indie from the UK, Fireproof Games, They have earned it for the amount of time that I've put into the games.
Still can't get behind paying for mobile games.
It's justifiable provided the game is meaty.
Which is the problem because most mobile games are just complete junk.
Oh, yeah. Fun fact, speaking of meaty mobile games, Final Fantasy 15 Pocket Edition is arriving next week.
Can they stop just making Final Fantasy 15 bullshit and release Final Fantasy 7?
It's literally just chibi-fied Final Fantasy 15. I don't understand why it exists, but the first chunk is free, so I look forward to downloading it and
Like
finding out
I
just how
said,
weird it is.
stop making Final Fantasy 15 bullshit and release Final Fantasy 7.
Yeah. It's
They
such a
are.
weird Final Fantasy
Do you remember
game.
when a Final Fantasy game would come out, and then that was it? That was all
No.
that was it. That was done. That was the game. You move on to the next one. Now they're just like they're slapping anything they can get. They're like Simpsons. They're just putting the Simpsons brand on
Multimedia
everything. These guys are
properties.
just putting Final Fantasy. You can buy 30-year-old, the 30-year-old Scotch, Final Fantasy
Final Fantasy
Scotch now.
Scotch, yeah.
The fuck.
Which definitely was a thing that they planned for ahead of time. Like when Hironobu Sakaguchi was putting together Final Fantasy game, a game so named because he thought it was his final gaming project, he definitely set aside a couple of 100 barrels of whiskey or scotch or whatever, saying, "I'll use these when I'm successful in 30 years." It's not that they found a conveniently timed batch and just paid for it to be branded.
Basically, yeah, I just for fuck's sake, Squeenix, just stop, please.
Every time I see Final Fantasy coverage, it reminds me I need to get back to playing the Final Fantasy X remaster for PS4 because I really love Final Fantasy XII. But moving on to other games we've been playing, the actual Cyberpunk stuff, two games that I've been playing, one on PC, one on PS4. Which would you like to hear about first?
Go PC.
PC? Okay. This is actually a game that I was sent for review, called The Red Strings Club,
Oh yeah, I've
is,
seen stuff about this game.
yeah, sort of a 2D side-scrolly kind of adventure game where you play as multiple characters in this kind of cyberpunky world where everyone has body modifications and there's an evil corporation that's going to use them for bad things. But you play as these different characters. So early in the game, you play as a bartender who mixes drinks to modify people's moods by channeling a muse that tells them how they're feeling. And then you can modify how they feel so they'll answer your questions because he's an information broker. There's also his partner, who I haven't gotten far enough in the game. I'm not sure if it's partners as in business partners or partners as in smooching partners because there's a lot of flirty dialogue, but that could just be dialogue. But he's all modified, so he wants to figure out what's going on with the evil corporation before they melt his brain. And there's also a robot who is, or an android, sorry, who has been stolen away from a corporation, and she helps you as well because she's designed to, or they are designed to make life better for humans.
It sounds very cyberpunky.
Yes. I'm really enjoying it. The art is beautiful. Like very detailed pixel art. A lot of time with these pixel games, you know, you have your walk animations, your interaction animations. There's not a huge amount beyond that, but every scene so far has had a unique custom animation at least once. So they've put a lot of work into making this game sort of beautiful and flowy and never sort of hitch at any point. In fact, it's kind of funny, the custom animations are so good that the actual walk cycles look kind of low key by comparison, because you're so used to these dramatic drink mixing and falling down and getting shot animations and mind jacking into an android animations and passing a cigarette from one character to another, which is just a feat in any game, having an object pass between two characters. It's always impressive. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I look forward to diving deeper into it. It seems like as I'm going through the game making decisions, the sort of pause menu is tracking my decisions to say specifically what I did. So I feel like it might have a branching narrative to look forward to. That is always nice because you get replay.
Cool. Hopefully it doesn't get too weird and date rapey. with the whole like, here, stranger, have this drink that I prepared for you.
Oh no, it's all very good. It's like you get a scan of them and you might see that they're nervous or stressed or whatever, and you literally just have these four bottles that the label designs on them have sort of subtle arrows, sort of up, down, left, right, and you have to position this cursor over the right mood you need to fix. And then you add ice to the drink to shrink the cursor until it matches the size of the thing. It's just a nice little mini game you get to play.
So you say that it's all nice and above board now, but this is like a cyberpunk game.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk is known for being happy families and rainbows, remember?
Yeah, exactly. Don't ruin this for me. I like these characters. What are their names?
Man, I love my friends that I can't remember the names of.
I'm terrible at names. I'm just having a look at the Steam store page, and even just the little animations they've got showing here are amazing. They don't mention the characters by name, it looks like. But they're very good. I recommend checking it out. It's not a super expensive game. It's a little bit pricey. It's new on Steam, but I'd say keep an eye on it. It's good. The other game I've been playing is one that I re-returned to on the PS4 after trying to get back into it multiple times. Observer, which is you playing as a cop voiced by Rutger Hauer, who is a cop in the future in like Eastern Europe cyberpunk version. And you're an observer, which is basically a cop who can hack into people's mental implants to view their memories.
Gotcha.
So you're going around this apartment building trying to track down your son, and there's all these murders and you have to investigate, and there's little side cases that turn up. And to begin with, I thought it was a pretty cool game. Like, it's a small studio game, so the environment's pretty small. The entire game takes place in this apartment building, just working your way up and down kind of thing. And I was like, oh yeah, it's pretty cool, like the art's nice, very grungy, lots of weird distorted holographics and all this kind of stuff. But it turns out the last time I played it, I'd never gotten to one of the actual mind-jacking sequences. Those things go fucking nuts. Like, just constant distortions, images jumping around, getting thrown from one environment to the next, lots of like tricks. You know the thing that a lot of games do, where you walk through a door and you look in a room and it's a dead end, and then you turn around and the doorway's changed to something else.
Willy Wonka style, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, and even though you know it's coming, it's always really enjoyable to see. And yeah, like these memory sequences are just intense. Lots and lots of sound. I think it'd be a hard game to play with headphones just because of the sheer kind of onslaught of sound I'm getting from my speakers alone. But yeah, a lot of fun. And I think I'm getting near the end of it because I found the killer, I think, the big bad killer. But I'm kind of hoping there's more mind sequences before then because they're just a lot of fun. So yeah, it's good.
Sounds like an episode of Black Mirror. In game mode.
A little bit. But yes, it's good. Oh. I think it's cheap. Buy it. That's the video games I've been playing.
I'll tell you, I want to talk about a little bit about a video game that I think I might want to be playing. But yeah. I can't until the end of the year. Probably Monster Hunter's pretty great.
Yeah.
According to everybody.
I want to bring this up. Everyone's talking it up. I reviewed Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, the 3DS release, a couple years ago, and I really hated it. Apparently, World has fixed, or like improved some of the issues Monster Hunter has, which is a lack of kind of information and tutorializing, introducing people to the concepts of the game.
Plus, it's on real consoles and real platforms.
Yeah. Like, it's on consoles right now. The PC has to wait.
Like I said, like, third, fourth quarter or something this year.
Yeah. The core issues I had with the game are still there, which are stopping me from playing it at least, which is that it's very grindy, there's no story. I mean, there's the barest scraps of a story, but for something that involves RPG skill improvements and all that kind of stuff, I need a story to pull me through. I can't just fight. It doesn't work for me. So yeah, apparently it's very good. The footage I've been seeing in the game looks fucking amazing. Like, the art style of Monster Hunter as a series is great. Like, the monster design is beautiful. And all of the monsters in world are based on real dinosaurs, so that's kind of cool. Obviously not, it's not a one-for-one representation, because an early mission has a giant dinosaur eat another dinosaur, then puff up into a ball and roll around, and I don't think dinosaurs did that.
I mean, we don't not know.
This is true.
I mean, that discovery could just be right around the corner any second now.
It could be. But yeah, I think as much coverage as it's getting.
Yeah.
Well, no one said if it got a copy ability or not from eating the little dinosaur.
Well, we'll have to discover this dinosaur and find out. Then yes, clone it Jurassic Park style. And yeah.
You will have to play the game because I don't want to.
Well, I'll play it when it comes out on PC.
Yeah. I have at least one other friend who's also waiting for the PC release. I was really hoping this would be the game that finally tipped him over to buying a PS4, because he's been talking about it for 2 years straight, but I guess he's still waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3. Hurry up, Pete. Jesus. So Monster Hunter, that's the thing. I'm more excited about Shadow of the Colossus coming out next week, because the reviews have started dropping, and it's very pretty, and apparently it delivers. So I look forward to actually finishing that game, because I've never finished Shadow of the Colossus.
I've never played a single game of Shadow of the Colossus, because I never had the correct PlayStations at the time.
Tut, tut. Just those giant colossi with a PS4 power behind it instead of a PS2. Good. So that's next Wednesday, I think. So we'll definitely have another episode up before then.
We won't.
I have no fucking clue. So that's some video games. I don't really have much in the way of news this week. So you said you had a couple things. Do you want to start?
Yeah, so in a move that everyone's just going like, shit, where's my popcorn? This is going to be good. Battlefront 2 is getting its microtransactions back.
Yes, this actually was on my list. So EA came out and said that obviously the launch was bad and it didn't hit targets, because they had to basically shut everything down. And now they're going to solve it by going back to the original situation.
I'm assuming that Disney's stepped in and gone, before you do it, we want to see it.
Yeah. I think Disney have definitely put their hands a little bit deeper into this situation than they had previously. Yeah,
just for real, Disney, just you've got the money, just revoke all the licensing, bring LucasArts back, and just make your own fucking games.
But really, adding back in the problematic aspect with what sounds like very little change doesn't fix it.
I mean, admittedly, we don't really know what form they're bringing it back in, so I guess we'll wait and see on that one. Does anyone even still play that game? I didn't even know people were playing it. I don't
think so.
Yeah, I certainly don't know anyone that's playing it.
Yeah, me neither. And I have no interest in playing it myself. I do want to look up the story of, what's her name? Aiden Versio? Aiden?
Sure.
Because apparently the story around her was kind of interesting / enraging to some people, so I'm curious about that. But otherwise, yeah, I can safely give the game a miss.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. Other news, video game news, video games. The Switch, having been in the market for just coming up on a year now,
because
I think it released in March.
Yeah, about a month away from it, roughly.
The Switch has now outsold the lifetime sales of the Wii U. They previously sort of accounted for it passing the Wii's first year sales, but now, in less than a year, it has sold more than the Wii U sold the entire time it was on shelves.
Because no one even knew what the Wii U was.
Yeah, everyone thought it was an expansion device for the existing Wii. It was a terrible name. It wasn't that great of a console.
Horrible name.
It's like they had an idea. Hey, what if there was a screen you could carry, and then they just skipped the bit where you could leave the house with it. Yeah, but no shit, the Switch has outsold the Wii U. It's very good. I started trying to play Skyrim on Switch again in the last couple of days, so I hope I'll get a bit further. I saw a rash of, you know, funny Skyrim stories turn up in social media, and that just kind of gave me the bug again.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened with Fallout, though, so I might end up playing Fallout 3 again. It's a tough life. But yeah, Switch is doing well. That's good. I don't know what the next big game is for the Switch, but I'm still doing pretty well with Mario and Zelda at this point. I finally got the motorcycle in Zelda. It's fucking amazing. Just riding around on that thing. It was particularly nice to hang out with some friends on the weekend who had just gotten themselves Zelda. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Look at their inventory. It's mostly brooms and mop handles. It's like, oh, yeah, I have a motorcycle. And I can fly. So, how you doing? Yeah. Yay, Switch.
Way just to, like, kick them in their tiny dicks and then just whip yours out.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Big motorcycle dick. Yeah.
It's like, oh, how do I get to the thing? I'll use the... Oh, you haven't unlocked that yet. Gotta get the hard way, friend. My current mission is to finish all of the side quests in that game because, helpfully slash unhelpfully... in the side missions category for your adventure log, it lists how many you've completed. So it says, you know, X out of 90. So I know that there are 90 side quests, which I like because side quests are great, but knowing when you're finished is better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've got about 12 left, and then I can officially say that I am done with Zelda.
Yeah, the games that are massive like that that don't have proper tracking... Horrible games. Horrible games.
It's one thing to just track, you know, active, in progress, completed for quests, but actually giving me a count, that's amazing because I don't have to have that itching feeling like, is there more out there? And then I can just use lists on walkthroughs to see which ones I've already completed and find where the rest of them are. But yeah. What else? Have you got anything else on your news list?
Nothing in terms of video games. It's all movies from here on out, basically.
Okay, yeah, I pretty much got movie stuff as well.
Yeah. What are we doing here for time? Yeah, I figure we're going to be talking a bit about these movies and the things, so...
Quite possibly.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, what you got?
Well, Ant-Man and Wasp trailer came out this morning.
It did. It was very good. I liked it.
It looked very, very good without giving basically anything away, which is excellent.
Yeah, still showing a bit of spectacle. I liked all the use of the shrink and grow.
Things getting big and things getting small. It's what Ant-Man's about.
Yeah, the shot of Hank Pym evacuating Pym Labs or Pym Industries, whatever it was called. That was cute.
Yeah, that was cool.
Shrinking the building and then pulling a carry handle out of it. It's like, how would you have phrased the construction of that building to the builders?
This got me thinking, right? In the first Ant-Man, how do they explain away his... They mentioned that even though he's smaller, he's still the same mass or something, don't they?
Yeah, he becomes like hyper-dense. It shortens the distance between his molecules.
Yeah, so if he's still like him, like how is a building even movable by a human being?
Shush.
Yeah, that's the only thing that Ant-Man hasn't got going for it is like that little loophole. They play really loose with that particular rule about how that works. But that's the rest of it is fine. I'll suspend disbelief on that just because it's cool watching a giant Pez dispenser like bounce through the street.
Yeah. You know what? If they can have any explanation, maybe it'll be that the building is shrunk down, but when the building was built, the wheels to carry the luggage were actually normal size that were enlarged so that when it shrunk down, they're normal weight so they can rotate easily something.
Yeah, but he's still, like, using a lever lifting, like, how many thousands of tons of concrete? and then just dragging it in. Anyway.
Maybe it was just a model to begin with, and they just enlarged it for years.
But that wouldn't be structurally safe. So we've got to suspend disbelief on this. Otherwise, we're not going to enjoy Ant-Man. It was very, very cool. I saw something that was a bit like an article today. I think it was on one of the Kotaku's or Gizmodo's or whatever. And the title was something like, finally, the Wasp in action. It's like, well, finally is a bit of a harsh word to use. Like, they've had one movie. And like in Iron Man, like, you know, there was like, you had Rhodey there, but he wasn't Rhodey until the second one. So saying finally is a bit rough. If they had two whole movies with her there, but not in the suit, then I would say, cool, the third one is finally. But it's now just kind of her turn to jump in the suit and get in the action too. It seems a bit weird to use the word finally. As if we've been waiting 20 years. I assume it's more
finally because Janet Van Dyne is a founding member of the Avengers and the person who gave the Avengers their name in comics continuity. So she's kind of been missing from the whole movie canon for a while.
I know, I mean, like, but I'm not talking about Janet, talking about Hope?
Well, Hope, who is basically the movie Janet.
But still, like, it's still a funny word to use. Like, we've been waiting, like, you know, since the MCU started, we've been waiting this whole time for her to get in the suit. It's like, that's a weird way to phrase it. But that said, like, you know, Wasp is very, very cool.
She's
flying around, jumping on knives and shit.
She's got a stinger blasts or whatever they call them.
Oh, she got. I did like it when Scott and Hank are talking. It's like, wait, so you didn't have that tech, like the shooty tech and the fly tech, like back when you gave me the suit? It's like, oh no, I had it.
Oh, you know I had it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, lots of fun little moments in that trailer. So I look forward to the movie. Also, did you identify the villain?
Ghost.
Yeah.
Totally did not look that up afterwards.
Yeah. It's being played by a woman where the character is traditionally male, so that's cool. We could have another serious female villain on our hands after Hela. I can't remember the actor's name. It's Hannah John Kramer.
Something. Yeah, something like that. She's been in Black Mirror, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, she's been in heaps of stuff.
She's going to be in Ready Player One as well. So she's been in Black Mirror twice.
That's a movie that's happening.
Hmm.
So that kind of looked cool. And that's like July this year.
Yep, and then there's nothing until Cap Marvel.
Yes, which is another piece of news to talk about. The first shots of Captain Marvel's costume, everyone is up in arms because instead of the, I was going to say classic, but it's a more recent development, the Captain Marvel outfit, the navy blue, red and yellow, she's in kind of green and cream and grey, which are classic Captain Marvel's colours, the ones she got her powers from in the first place.
And it wouldn't surprise me if that's what, like, you know, early on in the movie, and that she doesn't get like full Cap Marvel as we know it outfit until the end. Because I mean, we've seen that with a bunch of characters. They start in their, you know, old or traditional kind of thing. Like Iron Man has his first suit, that piece of shit, like weird, and it looks horrible. But it looks, the mask and stuff looks like he's from the comics back in the '60s and stuff. But and then he. As he gets to the end, when he properly becomes Iron Man, he's got his proper suit on and everything like that. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see, especially because we know it's an origin story, that we're going to see like that suit. The other theories
it's kind of my assumption that, because she's inspired by Marvel, like comics continuity, she was Ms. Marvel in like the leotard for many, 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 many years. And in the last 5-6 years, it could actually be longer now. She took the Captain Marvel title to honor him. I think he died again in the comics. Changed the costume into the kind of badass bodysuit she's got these days. So it could be that in the movie she's taking his colors to honor him, or maybe the suit is his suit or something, because the Kree are shapeshifters. So maybe it has like morphic abilities that help her or something, and then she changes the colors to become her own person midway or late movie or something. Because honestly, the green doesn't really suit her.
The other theory is that it's just that color to allow them to retouch it easier. Yep. So, but who knows? It doesn't really matter. We see all these kind of photos pop up all the time of the movies being filmed and everyone has an opinion about some shit, and then the movie comes out and we're like, wow, that's a great movie. And no one cares about whatever was stirred up beforehand, so.
Hmm. I mean, other than the color scheme, though, the suit on
it her
looks amazing.
Mm.
She looks powerful. She looks strong. I like it. They found a way to sort of give her high heel height boost without it looking like she's wearing space stilettos.
She just looks like she's wearing boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still a little bummed she doesn't have the cool short hair like Captain Marvel has these days. But having a long hair might mean that she gets to have her space mohawk.
Exactly.
Which is always a cool look.
You know, we haven't seen a lot yet. We've seen just a few shots of... was it even was it even mid-scene or was it just walking around?
I think it was just a set shot of between cuts.
Yeah. Or was it just like you're in costume now, you got to like, you know, there's still more to actually do to you before we actually start shooting, so...
Yeah, they did say that it was one of the 90s sets, so it could be that we have a timeline in the movie, kind of 90s when she starts out, and then they jump forwards.
Well, they confirmed that it was going to be in the 90s, like set in the 90s.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But when have Marvel ever told the whole truth?
Well, I mean, that's one part of, like, you know, there's so many more questions after that.
Mm.
Unless they just Star Wars Episode 8 and just ignore everything that was important from the previous MCU and just ignore those questions. But, you know, whatever.
I'm not engaging that.
Star Wars 8 was not good. I'm throwing that out there. It wasn't bad, but it was not good.
So Black Panther had its premiere like today for us, which was last night for America. And the embargo broke on reviews. It's getting very good reviews, which
it's basically getting like
unsurprising.
It's getting ridiculously, and I'm going to go with probably like some form of excitement level, like just getting stupidly high reviews. I'm not saying it's not going to be excellent, but like it's getting like crazy overhyped reviews, like star reviews. Everything I've seen is just basically saying it's the greatest movie ever made. I was like, well, like it's going to be good, I'm sure, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, the best movie ever. It's not going to be Schindler's List, I don't think.
Schindler's List wasn't the best movie ever made.
No, I'm just saying that was. I just picked like an Oscar movie, movie that I. So, but yeah, it's getting very generous reviews.
I think it's probably deserving of them. I'm sure it has very overhyped praise language because this is a very unique movie in that everyone in it and everyone building it behind the scenes is of African descent.
Well, I mean, like we're talking before, like before you started recording, it's like it's like Wonder Woman all over again, but just for like it for Africa instead of like women. So it's the same thing over again. Like very good and getting ridiculously high reviews. I'm sure those like it'll rain down a little bit after it's come out to actually like, level out a bit more, but. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. It looks good. Real good. Yeah.
And everyone on the red carpet at the premiere dressed in sort of either traditional or traditional inspired African dress. They looked amazing across the board.
Not
so much color.
Not all of them looked amazing. There's a few outfits from the stuff you sent me, and I'm like, what is even that?
The human yellow tassel.
No, that was not good.
Great job. But yeah, everyone just looks stylish and proud and happy, and that's what you want. I look forward to this movie. I've seen some clips now. I think I'm going to start cutting off viewing of content. But there was a little clip.
Watching stuff a few weeks ago.
Yeah. It was just a clip of T'Challa and his sister Shuri interacting, and just some sort of sibling banter, some cute moments that made me like it. Like you've seen in every single trailer, they have the shot of the car launch where he jumps to the next car. It's kind of the few minutes leading up to that, or maybe the minute and a half leading up to that. At one point, Shuri uses some sort of magic Wakanda disc that he throws on a car to remotely control it. So she's sitting in the lab, and there's a hologram of the car around her. She sort of goes to climb inside it, and she pauses and is like, "Which side of the road is it again?" And he's like, "Shuri, just do it." And so I was like, yeah, there'll be some sibling banter in there, which I think will be good. Movie. Hurry up. It's like 2 weeks away. I want to see it. Comes out on Valentine's Day, which is awkward. But yeah.
Technically Valentine's Day, isn't it? Like a midnight, release.
I think it's officially out on the 15th, which is the Thursday. But I've seen screenings like from like mid-afternoon Wednesday. Also, while looking up when the movie came out, I saw one of the local cinema chains was offering Valentine's Day packages in gold glass that were $175 a person. Not even a couple, a person. Fuck, I don't care what you're getting. That is...
Just like, nope.
That better be like a steak dinner, the movie, like endless alcohol, and a sex act performed by one of the staff.
Like, they better like bring out like someone of your choosing. Like, to line up and like pick your masseuse that comes out and just rubs you down with oil. Or rubs themselves down with oil. And then whatever floats your goat.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the good old can of Pringles and Netflix on the couch. That's romance, right?
Except you can't actually see all the big movies out at the time by doing that.
I don't know. I've been thinking a while. But yeah, that's about all the news I have this week.
Yeah, I don't have a great amount. Other than looking forward to Black Panther because it looks great. And
a little bit quiet.
Interesting to see where it leads into Infinity War.
Yes, that is the other interesting thing. Seeing
because that Infinity War trailer has a bunch of Wakanda in it, or at least looks like Wakanda.
It certainly does. And that makes sense because in the Infinity comic run, the Black Order attacked Wakanda as one of the big events going on in that whole situation. So they've kind of got that source material to draw from.
Isn't the theory that Wakanda's hoarding a Infinity Stone as well?
Quite possibly.
Like, and so Thanos knows it's there, so sick 'em, boys.
Yeah. Apparently there was a comic that came out last week or maybe the week before, which does a lot of the table setting for where everyone's at leading into Infinity War, kind of where they are now. I'm assuming these kind of prelude comics have always just been recreations of the existing movies, so I assume it's just scenes that have existed in movies that have been continued, or maybe scenes from upcoming movies that are being previewed. Kind of explains how Wakanda makes the Winter Soldier better, where Tony's at, everyone who escaped from the raft, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. That's about it. That's it for the week.
I'm going to assume that we're going to get a bit of, like, how Scott got out of the raft as well in Ant-Man and Wasp.
Oh, yeah. She must have... I'm assuming the opening sequence will be her breaking him out.
Although it'll be like a little... Yeah, like a little, some sort of weird little montage for it or something.
Oh, yes. She told Ramon, who told me, who told him, told him.
Oh, yeah. That, we need another one of them because that was amazing. Yeah.
So good. Yeah, cool. But until we can verify that, thank you for tuning in for your weekly-ish dose of The Indoorsman. Your podcast guide to the great indoors when we remember to record it.
Which is all the time.
Consistently. Yeah. Yep.
Well, it's not a matter of remembering, it's do both of us have a time at the same time to record it?
I'm a very busy social person.
Oh, also before we get too far into the outro a little bit, go outside tonight at like 11:30, and if the clouds aren't actually like screwing you over, you might see a giant blue red moon.
The super blue blood moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will do that. I'm right next to a door to the outside. I guess I can walk out.
But anyway, now we're off that tangent. If you like our opening and closing music, it's Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. If you love that stuff and you want to get some more of it, you can head to Bandcamp to find some more of his stuff. And you can also find it, you know, randomly around the internet. If you Google, you'll find him all over the place.
Yes, I found it on YouTube, so I know it's out there. You can also find us on the internet. Where, you ask? Indoorsmanpodcast.com. Or at Indoorsman Pod on the Twitter and the Instagram and Facebook, which is also a social media website. You can go to those places and check out our social media presence and talk to us. Please talk to us. We're so lonely.
Not presence as in like we're there, just you can give us presence.
Yeah, give us social media presence.
Gift us things, yeah. If you want to get in contact with us individually on social media, you can get myself at Clifford Monkey or Matt at Ponk on Twitter. Or if you want to send us an email, you can do that via contact@indoorsmodpodcast.com.
Correct. In between doing all those things to get in contact with us, your favorite and only podcast, we'd also love it if you could subscribe, review, and rate the show on iTunes, which helps us go up the charts. Why are there charts when there's only one podcast, you ask? Shush. Just do it.
Only one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing better, nothing worse.
Nope. But for now, on this only podcast, that guy's been Matt.
And the other one has been Cliff. So by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying... I need more Cyberpunk games. I'm really getting into it. So recommend me more Cyberpunk games, please.
I was trying to think of one off the top of my head, but I don't have one.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to being Rekka Hauer and stab my brain needle into someone's head.
I'm going to shoot people from Southeast Asia.
In a video game.
That's the server cluster I play on in Southeast Asia in PUBG.
Oh, good. I was worried this was video evidence for a second. Goodbye.
Well, video evidence, more audio evidence.
I record everything. I miss your sweet face, Cliff. All right, bye, everyone.